Venter City Planning Board Meeting, January 27th, 2020.
The Venter City Planning Board meeting is now successful for the date of January 27th, 2020. This meeting is being held according to due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same had been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, rise to salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will our Board Administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Langraff?
Here.
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Tom Halpin?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Tom McGavin?
Here.
Roman Zavvy Hutch?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Taco?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Absent are Tim Coop and Greer Gaskell.
At this time, all of you have had a chance to go over the minutes of January 8th, 2020. Are there any corrections or amendments to the said minutes? May I have a motion for a second? Yeah, we have a motion and a second for approval of minutes.
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it, and minutes are hereby adopted. We have three resolutions that were adopted at the last meeting. I will adopt those as one unit. They are P3-2020, the reorganization, P4-2020, which is the other part of the organization, and a P5-2020, which is Nicholas Howell, 129 North Newport, and P6-2020, Water Dog Smokehouse, LLC. Are there any amendments or corrections to any of those resolutions? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second, please, for adoption?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Those resolutions are hereby adopted.
If you weren't here at the last meeting, you'd just be noticed that it's sent.
Okay. Now, this evening, the agenda is, we have applications we have for this evening. The first will be 5116 Atlantic Avenue, 6413 Atlantic Avenue, 211, 213 North Suffolk, and 204 North Princeton, will be the order of events this evening. First of the applications this evening is that of John Batista, 5216 Atlantic Avenue. Yes, I'd like to let the record reflect we have a refusal, and at this point, Lorraine Salada is refusing herself and is stepping away from the board.
She's within a condominium of what gets her by 200 feet.
Good evening, Brian Callahan, law firm Callahan Thompson Thompson, on behalf of John Batista, Magnus Leviz, 5216. All jurisdiction requirements have been met. Mr. Cook, are we doing it the same as last year? So we're going to have Mr. McLaren go first?
Yes, we're going to, on this particular application, first have anybody be sworn in. Have everybody that you have hearing or testifying be sworn in.
I have John Batista and I have John Barthard.
Please have them sworn.
Just each of you state your name and address for the record or business address.
John Batista, 105 South Polar Rock Avenue.
John Barthard, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Do you each swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Okay. First of all, the credentials of Mr. Barthard are accepted. He's before this board several times. Mr. McLaren, will you please be sworn?
Mr. McLaren, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Would you please give a preamble of the application before us for everyone to...
Yes, I will. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Board Chairman and Board members. The report is based on the application of John Batista, pardon me if I mispronounced last name. 5216 Atlantic Avenue, Block 10, Lot 4, Ventnor, New Jersey, 08406. It's a minor site plan. The reason it's a minor site plan is, as per ordinance, you know, it's an existing building, an existing permitted use. The changing use requires a minor site plan review by the planning board. If it had been a similar use, or one is listed in the ordinance, an administrative site plan review could have been done. So the project description is as follows, and I just kind of hidden all of that. The application proposes to reconfigure the interior space in an existing commercial business, most recently used as a liquor store, into a breakfast and lunch cafe with an ice cream bar. The use is an approved use, however, due to the change in use, a minor site plan review, and approval is required, a variance for parking may be required. The change in use does not fall under the category of an approved use, not requiring formal site plan approval under Section 102-21-0C-12. The site is located within the area known as North Beach and is a recent streetscape project. As highlighted area is a commercial, pedestrian, and bike-friendly area that could be expanded. So page 2, you'll see the zoning chart. There's one highlighted item for variance, and that's for parking. So if you go to page 3, I discussed the parking variance for off-street parking, whereas 14 spaces are required based on the number of seats. 0 spaces exist and 0 spaces are proposed, and this requires a variance under Section 102, that's 118.6, Table 2. Waiver is not requested, but a landscape requirement waiver should be requested and granted due to the nature of the recent work done around that site doesn't require any work. The comments, I'm not going to go through all the comments, I'll just hit on the ones that are relevant to the variance. Jumping down to comment number 3, the site requires a parking variance. However, it should be noted that 0 off-street parking spaces was previously provided and 0 is proposed. The site is within a bicycle and pedestrian enhanced area. Comment number 4, by contrast, a real retail operation, which was a liquor store, would have required 10 spaces, and a quick food restaurant would have required 65 spaces, as opposed to 14. So if one can look at this, they need 4 additional spaces than what was used before. And the other comments are just based on typical minor site plan requirements, and Brian can address it as a whole, as an aggregate, if he would like to, but there's really nothing other than the variance that we should be concerned about right now. Hours of operation, typical site plan stuff that we might have.
I have Mr. Perfect.
I'll pause at this moment and turn it over to Brian.
Make sure that use the mic and speak directly to the microphone. If you have to, you can take it out of its holder and it's more comfortable for you so that everyone else in the room can hear.
Speak up and give the board a little background about how you got involved in Ventnor, what you've been doing in Ventnor before we get involved in all the comments that Mr. Norris reported.
Just real briefly, my name's John Batista. I've been in Ventnor for 18 years. I own the Karras Brook Inn, Bed and Breakfast. We also own Mentos, and I've been running a cafe on the boardwalk for the last 4 years also. So that's sort of our background in Ventnor.
You've had an opportunity to review Mr. Bohardi's comments?
Yes.
Let's walk through real quick. Mechanical equipment?
So there's the only mechanical equipment is already existing, and it's on a second floor flat roof area. So it's in place already.
And that's air conditioning, refrigeration, everything?
Yes.
For the service, the liquor store will service you?
Correct.
Hours of operation?
Probably between 7 a.m. and midnight in the busy time of the year. And the hours would be less than that during the slower times of the year.
Trash and recycling?
We would have a dumpster behind the building in the alleyway. We already have that contracted with Gold Metal Environmental. The service is just on hold while we're in the middle of getting things set up.
Lighting? Lighting?
The outside lighting that exists would be what we use. There's lighting under the awnings. You don't see them because I believe the bulbs are burned out because they haven't been in use for a while, but there is some lights under the awnings. That's all we would use.
Signs?
We would use the existing signs, just replace the inserts that have our new name and maybe hours of operation or something like that in the existing sign structures.
New name is going to be?
North Beach Cafe and Creamery.
Number of employees?
Depending on the time of year, it could range, you know, between three or four employees during the slow time, up to about nine employees on site at a given time.
They asked about a window.
We weren't looking for a window at this time, although in the future we may come back and request that.
Thank you very much. Let me call Mr. Park. Any questions with respect to those comments?
One of my suggestions, Board, is that they should be permitted to reuse the signs that are there now without having to come back to this board. I don't know what the sizes are, but it won't be any larger than what's there now.
Just change the text, I would just move that way.
Right.
I think to get it.
I just think to make it easier for the transition, and as long as they don't come in with larger signs.
I would say we should include that in the resolution so it's clear for the construction office.
Okay.
I thought he made the statement that we were going to replace the size of the sign with.
Exactly. And that may have been proper for my putting my report, but I think I just want to get it on the record. I think that's fair to the applicant.
So for the record, would the text the sign size stays the same, but the text can be replaced?
Yeah, the signs that are up there are lighted signs that have, I guess, some sort of a plastic insert that slides into them that has the text on it. So that would be taken out and a new one would be put in with a different text on it.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Please.
You mentioned a dumpster in the back. Where is that going to be located? I'm looking at, going by there today, there's not a whole lot of space back there. Is that a gate you can, on the side street there?
So on Little Rock, between this building and the building next door, I guess which would be 107 South Little Rock, there's an alleyway. And the owner of 107 and I have already talked about locating the trash cans for both buildings and the trash receptacles, which would be two dumpsters in that alley, and they would fit in.
Okay.
One thing with dumpsters, but that we should be part of it, is simply management of odors, particularly for the creamery and for other things that you're doing. These things can produce some very noxious odors at times, particularly during the summer. So you'll have to take steps to control that.
We would, I mean, that would be outside the back door of the kitchen area, so, you know, it would probably affect us first. But you know, traditionally, when we were running Mentos, we frequently rinsed out the trash receptacles to keep them clean, and we kept the trash in heavier duty than normal trash bags to try to minimize any kind of leakage to keep the odors.
And sometimes certain excesses of product or so are kept in the freezer until they're kind of thrown away. They don't spoil at some restaurants. I don't know if that's practical for you.
Yeah, I mean, we probably, given the volume of business between the two businesses, would probably be having it picked up more than once a week. So it wouldn't be sitting out very long.
That can be a very, very big problem.
Okay, we will pay attention to that.
And even 2 days, maybe it was a problem. So we've had that problem before with other sorts. So it's up to you. You're the manager. You're in business. You do a good job. Thank you.
In my report, I do indicate on page 5 that trash collection shall be on a consistent basis to avoid any incidents. So if they have a heavy week, they might require 2 or 3 checkups instead of just a one. You'll comply with that and be fine.
We hope so.
So do we.
And Mr. Barnhart? John, you want to go over the location of the site, just talk a little bit about why you need some variance to create a parking area measurement?
Sure. As I started to discuss, the property is located around the corner of Atlantic and South Little Rock Avenue. The photo that I have here is a little bit dated because it does not show the recent, relatively recent streetscape project of the city of Ventnor undertook for various blocks within the Newark Beach area. The area, as you know, over the last few years, has seen a lot of different actions, redevelopment of residential, some new commercial, little restaurants here and there. This block specifically, until Lisa's left, was really really nice little location. But for this corner, where it's had a little bit of a turnover of retail use, Mr. Batista's coming forward with what we think is a perfect cafe, creamery. This is a perfect location for something like that. It's in the beach block, right up on the corner, on your avenue, exactly where you would want something like this to sit. And what he proposes meets all the requirements of the ordinance, with one exception, and that is parking. Mr. McLaren kind of already did my work for me with what he had mentioned in his report. But, you know, this is the type of site application project where you have a building, it encompasses the entire property. It doesn't have parking, it has never had parking, it's never going to have parking. So what you have is an existing space that you certainly want to be used and vibrant and provide some type of amenity or something to the residents of your community and the tourists of the community. So what do you put there? This, in our opinion, is the ideal type of use to put in that location. It's a permitted use in the zone. The only deviation from the land use ordinance is with regard to parking. The building itself, my calculation differs slightly from Roger's. Roger mentioned that if you were to apply the size of this building for a retail type of use, it would have generated 10 spaces. I came up with 11, but we'll call it 10 spaces what would have been required for this building when it was built for whatever retail use might be in the building. By modifying it and turning it into a restaurant type of use with the 40 seats that are proposed on the application plan that was submitted, that generates the requirement of 14 parking spaces. Again, there are zero. But understand that this building could have been reoccupied by a similar use as Roger pointed out, and it would have been allowed to move forward with no parking as the building sits today. So while the variance is for 14 spaces, deviation from what is legally permitted to be in there versus what we proposed is really only about 4 spaces. Because of its location, we think that the variance is very, very de minimis. First of all, as was mentioned, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with it, this area of the community, the Newark Beach area, underwent a streetscape improvement of Atlantic Avenue that really made it more pedestrian and bicycle friendly. There are bicycle racks along the route now. The sidewalks are wider at the corners to promote better and safer access for pedestrians in and around this area. And as I'm sure you know, especially in the summer months, there's a lot of pedestrian action on the street on these blocks. It's actually really cool to see what is going on in this area. So this is a location where, while parking is at a premium on the island and Atlantic Avenue for sure, the not granting this variance would be so, what's the word for it, so onerous on the owner and the applicant of this project that it would create a negative impact on this neighborhood by not permitting this application to move forward with the variance being requested. The 4 space deviation, it has no impact. Parking is what it is on the barrier islands for the most part. You go around, you look for a parking space. If you can't find one, you go around the block again. But that's just what happens in these communities. This application has no ability to gain additional parking. And we believe that the request is, as I said, very, very minor. With regard to the two prongs of the request for a C variance, is there a substantial negative to the zone plan or zoning ordinance? I would argue that there is not, because as I mentioned, this building does legally exist with essentially a 10 space deficiency, so it's a very minor deviation from the legal existence of the building. With regard to any substantial detriment or negative impact to the public good, I think this is a benefit to the community all the way around. It's not in a location that is appropriate. Use is permitted in this zone. So
So for those reasons, we believe the negative criteria established and required can be granted.
Based on the aerial photograph, yeah. The whole street, nobody has parking. Everybody's built property lines.
Or the commercial on Atlantic Avenue.
Right.
That's correct. The former leases didn't have it, Manusushi doesn't have it. None of these properties have it, and the majority of the Ventnor Avenue, I'm sorry, Atlantic Avenue commercial spaces don't have parking.
And the new North Beach development really addresses part of that issue by making it bicycle friendly. We're hoping to bring people off the boardwalk, out of the high rises, to walk there, to ride their bikes there, park their bikes, and go to a breakfast lunch place, and cause some excitement in that quarter.
Yeah, this is an ideal location for that, because you can draw a pedestrian, you can drive the boardwalk to the location. You've got a mix of other types of uses in the area. You know, you might go to maybe sushi next door and have dinner, and then you walk next door after that and have ice cream. You know, it just works together with what the surrounding land uses are.
One of Roger's comments dealt with a survey for a site plan. You want to address that issue?
Sure. I mean, obviously, a survey could be provided. What we would like to do for now, to let it continue to move forward, is ask for a waiver from providing the survey right now. It would be important if you decide to move forward with changing the signage beyond what's there, and also if you decide to move forward with some type of walk-up window. So what we would request is a waiver from providing that as part of this application, but a future application for those items survey would be submitted.
And the survey at that point, not for the window, would show how people can get by on the sidewalks?
Correct. And the nice thing about this location is you do have nice big wide sidewalks for pedestrians and bicycles.
I don't have anything else, Mr. Barnhart. I'd open up to the board again.
Is there any plan for the show in the kitchen and the kitchen exhaust system?
Let me address that. We're actually using a different type of commercial equipment that doesn't require any kind of a hood or exhaust system. It's all self-contained equipment that has internal exhaust and recapture built into it, similar to the equipment that we have been using for 4 years at the location at the Vassar condominium, similar to some of the equipment that you might find in Wawa. But there is no requirement for a hood.
Interesting.
As soon as we get it up and operational, we'll give you a buzz.
I'm familiar with what you're talking about. Bubby's across the street is utilizing that now because they don't have headroom to put in a full-size hood. So if we can see the specs, but I've seen it in action before, so I think it could work for you there. I have been in that building since, not from the liquor store to AC Alch. So we had no problems with violations if you've got a good building to work with.
It's exactly the same equipment that's been in regular operation in Vassar Square, where there is no hood either.
Right.
In there, yeah. So it's worked a lot for a couple of years.
Any outside seating plan?
I guess we would submit a request for outside seating in the summertime. As the summer approaches, I believe there's a an application for that, the restaurants.
That would go before city commission.
I guess I haven't looked into where it's got to go yet. But
that would go before city commission.
Okay.
It's in the public right away.
Right now, there is no requirement for seating permits in the right of way.
Okay.
We will be working on something like that, just to make sure it's access standards for people walking down the sidewalks. You're permitted to do it, right?
If
the construction officer would fine.
Wait.
Yep.
You see, Carriage Brook Inn is how far away from this?
From this location? It's two buildings away.
Right. So
it's
you're consolidating your business, actually. It's a better match.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons why we're doing this, is because we can oversee both operations much easier.
So that's a good thing for you and the city's both.
Thank
you for picking that way.
How many seats are you thinking of for the restaurant?
About 38 or 40.
Okay, so you're going to have a light hazard.
Yes.
Okay.
I would
make a comment on the survey. I agree with the testimony that all the changes are happening inside the walls. We have survey data on the streetscape project, but the condition that if they do any exterior modifications and add a window or signs, they would come in with a survey at that point in time. I would recommend granting a waiver at this point in time.
So noted.
Don't we usually see a plan, a layout?
They submitted it. I can, 40 seats, just to be...
Yes.
Yes. Any other questions from the board members?
Discussion.
Brian, this time, I'll open up to the public.
Just for clarification, there's, it looks like on the land down the side of the building, there's one rectangle sign area where you're saying it's illuminated and you can slide different signs in and out. What we're saying, is that correct?
There's one on the Little Rock side of the building and one on the Atlantic side of the building.
They both operate in that fashion?
Yes.
So what we're suggesting is we stay within that rectangle, not that we measure the letters and all that.
Correct. The same size. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. At this point in time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comments on this application? Hearing none, receiving no request, the public portion of this application is now closed. Yes, Brian, do you have any further add?
No, I think they've answered all the questions and addressed the recommendations to the satisfactory, what I see.
Are you real with your
report? Nice new business inventor. My person who lives in Benton works for Benton Current.
Brian, are you good with Roger's report?
We are.
Okay. You have any further to add in your application?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, I'll entertain the requirements. Let's discuss that. There was a waiver that was discussed. That is one thing that has not been brought up before the board yet.
The landscape report, we occupy 100% of the property. And you just asked the North Beach, new landscaping, new pedestrian friendly, up and down the avenue. So we're asking for a waiver, since we can't put any landscaping on the property, since we don't have any property to put on.
My recommendation is grant that waiver.
And that is, I have another item there. If board members will understand that that is the case that we've seen in the North Beach improvement of the BTA improvement. This time, then you're complete. Board members, if you have any final questions of our officials, then at this time, Leo, could you please frame a motion in the affirmative, it's all done, for a roll call vote.
Sure. Need a 9 people. Somebody to make a motion for minor site plan approval together with a parking variance where 14 spaces are required and zero exist, and waivers from submission of the survey with the caveat that if they make any exterior improvements such as a window or new signage, they will supply the survey, and also a waiver for landscaping requirements. The conditions will be the applicant will comply with any representations and any other conditions in this requirement before they get January 25th.
I have a motion and a second, please.
Motion.
Second.
Will the board administrator please call the roll and state your reasons, please.
Commissioner Langbrecht?
I think this is an excellent application, good adaptive reuse of the structure. The parking to me is just going from a requirement of 10 that's been historically deficient to 14, so really that's just 4 parking spaces. That's not going to make or break a facility. They have no space. This is a hardship variance in my mind where there's no space to put parking. It's just been deficient for years there. Just looking at some of my notes. The site was designed, not the site, but the neighborhood was designed as a walkable, bicycle-friendly area. The streetscape was just done. Yes, those tall, skinny things are bike racks that are sitting on the corners. We're going to have to put signs on them then. They're bike racks.
Are you meant to put a
bike there, just so.
I do.
Yeah.
I locked a bike on the entire street. So people thought it was a handicap thing to get into.
They're pommel horses for a little gymnastic reason. That's what we're going
to
do.
Okay, we have to move on.
Sorry, we got sidetracked. Yeah. I don't think it's a substantial detriment to our zoning plan and zoning ordinance. I vote yes.
Commissioner Crevel?
I agree with everything Commissioner Landgraf said. I look forward to the landscaping that is including that piece of enhancing the business. And thank you for the further investment in that there. And I wish you all luck in the spread application. It's exactly the type of business we wanted to enhance already thriving outdoor seating and dining. So,
Tom Halpin?
I'll be quick. It's a positive for the neighborhood, and I agree with the others. Yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of it. It goes directly to our master plan as far as making the component, the economic component, making the city more viable, a better place to do business, but also friendly and generating additional income for both the city and the businesses that are there. There's also some room with the our commercial districts. It is walking friendly and bike friendly. Parking of it, there's no way of producing parking. There hasn't been that way since the history of the property. So it'll be onerous to try and request that at this point in time. The other waivers and so on go hand in hand with the streetscape development. And I find it to be a win-win with the city. And I have to commend Mr. Batista for consolidating his business and to keep a better eye upon it and manage it better. He's been good,
viable, and we're happy to keep him. So I vote yes. Please down. Tom McAdam? I vote yes. So I'm happy to see any empty building occupied by the tenant. In this case, I report the applicant for expanding his business enterprise and his belief in that. Best of luck.
Roman Zabihach.
I also vote yes. This is a hardship variance, which I think deserves to be approved. And it does enhance streetscaping that we attempted to do as a city. So thank you very much. And that's exactly what we need to encourage more people to walk and bicycle, which is consistent with what we're advocating in the master plan.
Dan Smith III.
I vote in favor of the application. There's no negative impact. Promotes the master plan that we have, and I think it would be used as absolutely perfect for that location. Location to be underutilized in this world has it's a perfect complement to other uses within the surrounding commercial districts. So I think it's a really good opportunity.
Mike Wiesen?
Brian had mentioned that it's a new business, but they're combining two businesses together to make it an even more efficient way to run a business. They are former neighbors of my store, and they were meticulously clean, spotless. I can tell you, I never smelled anything from their shop in the past. My only disappointment is that we didn't get the taste of scones here tonight because they're out of this world with the cranberry and the chocolate chip, and the coffee that she made was really, really good. So I hope everybody gets a chance to try it. I'm in favor.
Peter Taka.
I will also vote in favor of it. I think it definitely meets the criteria for a hardship variance. It's going to be an excellent job.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Welcome again to continue. They continue to side of the carriage community. Vendor Worldwide, 6413 Sullivan, Vendor Avenue.
Thank you.
Once again, good evening. Brian Galley of Law Firm Galley Thompson Thompson, on behalf of Bentley Worldwide. All jurisdictional requirements have been met. Mr. Cook, I'll have Glenn Farbuskio, Peter Weiss, John Barnard, all be sworn in.
All right, you can just go down the line and give once again name and business address, or name and address, if you want to carry off.
Blake Barbuskio, 6413 Bentley Avenue.
Peter, talk like Blake.
Yeah.
Peter Weiss, 101 North Washington Avenue, Margate.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
You swear a firm testimony about to give the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Again, we'll stipulate that Mr. Barnhart's credentials are such that the board is approved three times. Glenn, could you lift that microphone up just a little bit and this is a
before here many times as well. As an architect, and Mr. Barnhart as an engineer.
Correct.
Mr. Cook, I have an updated plan right here. I'll pass it out to Mr. Smith. Pass it on your side of the table. Parker, you want to take it on your side of the table?
Mr. Callahan, why don't you just go right into this without me, without Mr. Cook?
We call Mr. Barnhart first. John, why grab the slide for the board, give him a little history on our past episode here, and then we can talk about the variances for the signage.
Sure. I'm sure most of you, if not all, are familiar with, we've been in front of the board a couple times with this application for Santucci's pizza facility, and get a portion of a formerly residential space. As I'm sure you're familiar, the project is underway. It's under construction right now. And the only reason we're here this evening is to bring forward a signage package that our client proposes with the application. The plan was submitted by Mr. Weiss, shows three wall-mounted signs. There's a main sign that says Santucci's pizza. There is above that main sign, there is a smaller sign that identifies the roof deck area, which is the second level, which I'm sure everybody's very excited for that to be open. It'll be a very, very nice amenity and interesting use on the avenue. And then the third sign is another very small wall sign that identifies a game room space as part of the restaurant. There will be a little game room for kids when families visit the restaurant facility. The three signs, when you apply them to your land use ordinance, require a number of variances. And this is kind of similar to an application that you had last meeting with regard to the water law, although these applications stand on their own. What we see when we look at applications like this for signage is that the vendor's ordinance really doesn't have a sign application that is consistent with some of the more recent developments. So what do I mean by that? This building has, now that it's been brought forward to the avenue of the old Arrow Harbor, it's that way back, now that it's been brought forward to the avenue, it has a very large presence on Bentley Avenue. But your land use ordinance actually only permits a 20 square foot wall sign on this entire building, because that's what the ordinance says. So just to put it in perspective for you, looking at this application, the only sign that would be permitted would be the one sign at the top here. That's one at approximately 20 square feet. That would be it. It wouldn't give you any real identification of this building. It wouldn't give any architectural appeal to the building. It's barely enough to identify what's in the building per your current land use requirement. So what Peter did here is he developed a sign package that is appropriate for the building, that is scaled properly to the size of the building and the frontage of the building, and also fits in with the character of the architect. But in order to do that, you'll see that there are a number of variances that does create. And the one thing I do want to mention is that Brian was passed out. There is one modification to the sign application, and that is with the rooftop sign. Our client would like to make that sign round instead of rectangular. And That exhibit is being passed around, or has been passed around, and I will explain those specific numbers so that we have them on the record appropriately as part of the application. So I'm going to go sign by sign just for clarity. The first sign that in Ryder's report he called Main Sign A. That sign is a total of 84 square feet by itself, which is the variance. That sign has a dimension of 3'6" in height, which is also a variance. And that sign also sits 9 feet above grade, where the requirement is 10 feet.
John, for the record, what are the words on the sign so everybody can get that?
That sign says Santucci original square feet, the main sign down at the first level. So that sign contains a variance for area, a variance for height above the sidewalk, and then also a variance for the total height of the sign structure itself. The second sign in Mr. McLaren's report is identified as pop sign or sign B. That is the sign that we're proposing to change from what was submitted with the application to what is in the exhibit that's being passed around. That sign is now proposed to be a 5-foot diameter round sign structure that has the facility logo or insignia on it. That sign will max out, that round 5-foot diameter circle will max out at just under 20 square feet, like 19.7 square feet in total area. Top of that circle will sit 20 feet above the sidewalk, or 25 feet to the top of the circle, 20 feet to the bottom of the circle sign above the sidewalk. And that sign will also sit approximately 2 feet above that pergola roof structure. And per your ordinance, again, roof signs are not specifically permitted. So because that sign, that round sign will go above the roof structure, it creates a variance for that sign height. And we're proposing that circle would be approximately 2 feet above the roof structure, so that would also be a variance. And then the final sign is a little game room sign off to the right side of the building. That sign is only 15 square feet in total area. It does comply with the total height at 2 feet, or total height of the structure at 2 feet. It does not comply in that it is 9 feet from the bottom of the sign to the sidewalk and is required to be 10 feet. So it's a lot of little variances for three signs. But this is one of those types of applications where you really have to look at the totality of the application. If with this building, the signage is appropriately located, it's appropriately sized to properly identify this building and the uses within the building, and it gives enough information for motorists that are passing the site, both at the first and second level, and enough information for pedestrians that are walking by the site to know what's in the facility without creating a proliferation of signage on the building that is inappropriate. So this is the case, we believe, it's a classic type of C2 application where the benefits of the deviation substantially outweigh any of the potential detriments. As I mentioned when I started, if you look at your sign ordinances, I hate to use the word outdated, but it doesn't take into account a project like this. It's more geared toward little storefront buildings where you don't want these giant wall-mounted signs, and I understand that. But it's more geared toward that 25-foot wide Vetner Avenue storefront, and it maxes out at a 20 square foot wall sign, and you have that consistency, and it makes sense. That ordinance really doesn't appropriately apply to an application like this. So we believe that what Peter has designed here is more in keeping with the design of the building than the land use ordinance as it is currently written. And for those reasons, we believe a C2 variance can be granted. With regard to the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the public good? I would argue that this is a benefit to the public. It creates more aesthetic appeal to the building. It gives the appropriate information for this facility for, as I mentioned, motorists and pedestrians. And is there a substantial detriment to the zone planner zoning ordinance? I've kind of already touched on that. The signs, although they do deviate a number of ways, as you see from Mr. McLaren's report and by way of my amended calculations, we believe that in keeping with the idea that you're not looking for
signs to overtake the front of the building, and we don't believe that this design has done that. So we believe that the positive and the negative criteria are established, that the variances can be granted.
Character of the neighborhood. Our signs, based upon our points, not really out of character with the rest of the neighborhood, the rest of the sign packages up and down the street?
No, I mean, there are a lot of different signs in the area, and a lot of signs are non-conforming signs. But, like, as I already stated, based on the size of the structure, you know, it's two and a half stories, it has a nice wide presence on Ventnor Avenue, the signage that is proposed is very, very much within the intended purpose.
I don't have any other questions, Mr. Barnhart, I would open up to the public.
You have a way of, we'll place the board first. They're going to be illuminated?
Yes.
All?
Yes.
How will they be, or they are, on the back door?
Internally.
Or into the internal?
All three?
Correct.
What is the horizontal dimension of course of the building? What's the width of the building?
Total?
75.
75 feet?
75.
So, given the amount of the size of the signs, it's not exactly what it varies given the size of the building.
Correct. I think that's what the applicant was trying to do, and that's what Peter Weiss was trying to do in developing it and bringing it down. I know that we're a foot less than height-wise, but technically, if you're coming by on your bicycle, you can see, if you're coming down in a car, we thought it would be visible, but without causing traffic to tie around, and we thought it was an appropriate use of signage. And going back to our first hearing, that's why we said that we'll come back with a signage package. So it really was, we wanted Peter and Clayton, not me, wanted to really see how the property started coming out so that you could develop an appropriate sign package that would fit into the property and fit into the neighborhood without a barrier.
What's the, looks like the percentage is really low versus signage versus the facade. Rough idea, John?
I can think of it like a...
Keep talking.
It's just really low. I mean, it doesn't scream to me like the site's oversigned. It's got a lot of width to the property.
The scale is very...
It is. And typically, you look at, you know, what are we allowing? Is it 25% of the facade?
Yeah, this is about approximately 7%.
Yeah, so it's well below what I would see, you know, what I call oversigned on the property, so... I really like the medallion, you know, the round, the changed out from the rectangle. I really like that.
Yeah, it's a more, it's not completely round, it's just wet, the wet seal.
Sure, yep.
So all of these signs are going to be eliminated, they're all raised?
Right.
Okay.
Is this photograph an example, is the sign, is it raised letters?
There's, yes.
It's raised letters, it's not a box.
Correct, it's a box, the original square pizza is flush with the box and just the one, just the word of it, or letters of it, and then Santucci stands out from that.
That's...
Yes.
That's okay.
I guess we're through.
Yeah. No, I'm just wondering, you've given us the square footage, but what are the actual dimensions? Other than the circular one, which you said is a 5-foot diameter, right? What is the big Santucci sign? What's the dimension?
The big Santucci sign has a dimension of, it's 3'6" high from the bottom to the top. And...
24 feet.
Yeah, 24 feet long.
And everything is lit? I mean,
Well, the black of the sign is not lit.
Right, the letters, the letters are fairly large as well, but they seem to cover most of the blank space. Well, I just want to put it out there that, you know, the game room sign, I have a problem because you want that to be visible. People know you have a game room, which is, you have access from the street to that room, correct? Or you have to go to the...
Yes, there's two exits.
You know, I'm having a bit of a difficult time understanding the big circular sign and then pretty much underneath it, the big Santucci sign. So you have Santucci, and a lot of lights. Ventnor Avenue is not that big.
One of them is more just the logo, just, I'm not going to call it artwork, but it's more just something that will look nice instead of the main sign is what tells everyone, you know, who we are.
Well, I would say that the Santucci is pretty much that which you want.
Correct.
The original square feet, the main sign.
Right.
So it is a circular sign.
Circular sign is our logo, please.
That's the logo.
Yeah.
Which is a very nice logo. I'm not feeling voted for. That's my honest feeling. I think it's a great project. Love it. Signs are all nice. I just think we're starting to small.
I think what I'm trying to clarify is that and I just want to be 100% clear, is that that larger Santucci is not a fluorescent box with a piece of plastic with a logo to put on it.
Correct.
Right? It's not that.
It's the individual letters.
More like a photograph. Each individual letter is a box, and the back of the that attaches to the building is not lit.
Correct.
That is correct.
Right.
So the letters are, and it's not clear exactly unless you see it, unless you put the.
But no, I understand signage.
I'm agreeing with that. I would rather not see a giant big box of fluorescent light on the street.
That is the same basic sign we had in Roxborough and Ocean City.
Okay.
Yes.
But the, I think that the building needs the logo sign at the top to make sure of the balance sign gap.
Right, so originally it was roof deck or rooftop, and I thought this was like a more of a newspaper ad. Game room, you know, I was like, let's just put a logo up there.
It is just looks aesthetic. The building out, and it differentiates the building and puts your stamp on it. So as a business, I think you should be, I think it looks good in the drawing how you had it done, so I'll peel it out. So from a balance standpoint, otherwise. The game room, does that need to say for patrons only? Because the game room is not accepted, not for other than, should not be brought in and be addressed on the patrons.
I would probably want to put that in the door or something like that.
Yes.
And, yeah, in the case of
there should be something that said that the game room is for patrons only, identified on the building.
I would probably want to do that anyway.
Yeah, so that you have that, because that's my understanding of the call attention to the game room.
Yes, exactly. The attention of the game room is, if you're 13-year-old in there, you might set it down to the game room while you sit down.
I think think it's worse, right. 6 years old than my kids.
There's no light. If we could put it somewhere that either on the door or somehow it's in letters, this is what street
that
street.
That's going to be addressed by the ordinance that creates that use.
Okay.
That's not even created yet.
Okay.
So. The signage might be a little premature.
If he's doing the signage, it might clear up some things there on the street. I don't know. I'm going to put it out there.
I don't know how everyone feels about it, legal or not, but maybe to keep that front door shut and add the door that enters to under the deck into the, essentially in the property. The side door going from under the deck into the game room, so then that would even stop people wandering in off the street as well.
Right. And there should be some mechanism in there that is, because it is for patrons.
Mm-hmm. I could probably put a panic door that makes it only for in case of a fire, but no entry. Yeah.
That works out well.
So the game room, that'll be an accessory use?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So that you're not leasing that out?
No, it'll be put in there.
Okay. So I just want to, was there any consideration to, I know you feel that your logo is important, putting it anywhere else, maybe on glass or anywhere else on the building as opposed to get another sign?
Well, we thought of balancing it, like you said, it was kind of the rooftops there, there's nothing out there, there's this whole structure that's bringing more attention to what's going on with
the so you wasn't giving in putting a sign if you would.
No, not yet.
I would be a little concerned if that big sign up there becomes a distraction and people are riding by and looking at the sign. Right. I find that I do it now when I ride by. I look up there. But with that big logo up there, without knowing what it is, it may become a distraction. I kind of agree with Lorraine that, if you're going to use the logo, maybe put the logo down on the windows rather than up there, but, that's where your eye is going to go.
Well, wasn't that where the original design called for a sign? Across the rectangular section.
That's correct. Original plan was no, there was not a sign on the ground level, it was just up on that.
But the logo is, it's hard to, it's hard to discern what it is without really taking a real good hard look at it. Not like the Santucci sign is, that's Santucci, but the logo up there, you really have to pay attention to what it is. I mean, because the lettering is kind of small.
Is that going to be a backlit, yes, plexi, or is that going to be a built sign with rays?
So the structure of the sign is, you know, curved like a seal, right. And then the front is just flat.
Right, but is it, how are you lighting?
Is it backlit?
It's backlit.
Interior, yes.
The logo on the top is just going to be the red thing on the top of the, with the S.
Wax,
yeah,
so.
That one.
It's not anything more than the size of that stamp.
It's not the whole.
Oh, it's not going to be the whole.
Right.
No, it's just going to be the, it will be.
It's just going to be this.
Yes.
Correct. Just going to be the S.
Yeah, that's correct.
So it's not the memory.
Well, and that's,
right.
Yeah, really? One thing I was going to say, I don't appreciate that was not.
I mean, that's what it's shown.
Now. You're saying that it's going to be the size of the logo that's on your question?
It's exactly the red part of that.
Just time. The red part.
Okay. No lettering, no nothing.
So it's not something that somebody's going to have to ride by and okay, what's that say? That's why I was saying more just the logo.
Yeah,
not
okay.
The sign.
Okay. Can I clear something up?
There's a big red dot up there.
The height of the sign basically is for walking traffic. And it will basically go close and see that sign. And people walk up to it and look at it and so on. It's a small, the logo is probably, it's a five dimension sign. It's probably like 18 inches or 2 feet, you know, maximum as far as that red piece goes. No more than that.
Awesome. It seems like the applicant, the document that's submitted tonight is not accurate.
The picture is not accurate,
so. Can you find the sheet will be all red
on there?
Correct.
Right. It was just being stamped with the S.
Look.
Oh, you okay. Also alluded in your email that it would be 36 inches or whatever we were skimming to loosely. Yes. I don't, you know, we didn't see the email.
So one, I'm sorry.
I think 5 foot is a big, for just that big red dot. That's a good sign.
Hold on, let me just have Johnny address.
Yeah, I just want to just mention something for what it's worth. I looked up the definition of signs we're talking here. With the change to it just being the logo with no words on it, I mean, the definition of a sign is any device or representation for visual communication used as or which is in the nature of an advertisement, announcement, or direction. This isn't providing an advertisement, announcement, or direction. It's almost a mural more than a sign. So I'm not sure based on his change to eliminating the wording and just have his seal on it if it even is classified as a sign anymore.
This sounds like a differentiation between the spirit of the mural and the logo.
I think it's a stretch
for the mural. Well, similar to Dunkin' Donuts where they got their brand and it blends into their stock. It's like the if you travel and you see the Starbucks logo, and they've diluted it and edited it so much that it doesn't say Starbucks anymore. It just has an angel, right? So in this case, you're saying there is no copy on that round sign that will work.
Just
except for the big S and the red.
Correct. Red stamp, S, that is it.
There's no letter.
Right. There's no letter. Yes. Just the S.
Okay. Now. How big is that, just for clarification here, how big is that red piece with the S in it?
More person.
John?
At your proposed
grind?
Yes. 5 feet.
5 feet in diameter?
Correct.
This would be about 19.6 square feet.
Yeah, testimony John gave was
that wall section is only 30 inches, maybe roughly.
So it would go above and below a little bit. Well, in here, it shows a 5 foot, in the drawing you have submitted to us, it shows a 5 foot sign with a 20 square foot mat, 8 inch depth, in there. If that diameter cap is up to 20 square feet, and that's it, and it's over a white background, is that correct?
No, it's a red background.
A red sign or a red background?
So the box of metal is made of black.
Right.
The sheet is red. The stand completely with the white S.
What the gate is here, is that incorrect?
Correct. It is incorrect.
It is incorrect. So we need somebody to draw something up tonight, at least to show us, and then have follow-up.
I have, it's online, I mean, Google it, send it. Somebody do that, or?
Yeah, so we have it, so we can cut this up, and what it's going to be, and our system.
I would just like to add, if you would consider making it small.
How much more?
Well, you tell me what you'd be willing to do. I mean, I'm not comfortable with the five foot.
It's 4 foot?
But that's for you to decide.
Five foot is really big, and again, I'll link to your email earlier.
Right, exactly.
For whatever we would like.
The size is not completely determined yet, so I guess the theory is go for five, if it comes in at four.
Five foot is.
May I make a suggestion, Mr. Weiss, since you're the designer of artwork or someone in that regard, why don't you give a suggestion on what the size should be in the scale of the building, if the designer is a designer. Give us a range if you like. What you should give us, or the scale of the item should be. Rather than us tell you, and we'll see if it's acceptable.
That's what I was trying to do.
That's on the other door. That doesn't look like 5 foot.
Mr. Lott, if you could do 4 feet, which would put us 6 inches above and 6 inches below.
Which I think would look nicer hanging from, exceeding 3 foot. Correct.
This way, that
So you're now putting that wax seal, and you're amending it, and you're basically saying that you're looking for the 4 foot, basically diameter, red wax seal, or
yep.
a logo for your building.
Yes.
It would be 6 inches above that square, that facade piece in there, and 6 inches below, approximately.
Yes.
Okay. Does everyone understand? Everyone understand that now?
Yes.
I don't know how that plays with everyone.
And that would be four feet in diameter?
Yes. They're asking to divide and reduce it to four. And they've relocated the piece to be was centered on the facade. I'm correct on that.
So that facade's only 3 feet?
That's correct.
Right. All right. And that is the amended one for application.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any, we've covered everything here. At this time, I want to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wants to comment on this application? Hearing none, or seeing none, the public portion of this application is now closed. Do you have anything further to add, Mr. Callahan?
No.
McClaren's reports?
Yes.
At this time, so board members.
Can we enter Roger's report into the record?
Not yet.
Yes, we're going to do that next. Roger, could you put your report into the record, please?
Yeah, thank you, Lord Chairman. Board members. The report is based on the application of Ventnor Worldwide, LLC, otherwise known as St. Teresa's Pizza. C variances for signage. This is a C2 criteria application. Page 2 discusses the, or lists the review, item review for the report. Zoning schedule shows previously granted variances. And again, this is heavy on the signs, which we all knew when they came in the first time and the second time that they were going to come back with the signs. So I just want to go over the final variances for the signs.
So total signage goes from 119 square feet to 112 square feet based on, I ran it with the reduction in the diameter, it came out to like 12.56 square feet, call 13 square feet. So total square footage of the signs is 112 square feet, where the 20 feet is the maximum. The sign height, the actual height of the sign, not from the distance from the ground, 2 feet is the maximum, 3 feet. Sign A is 3.5 feet, so that requires a variance. The other signs, I guess the revised top B sign, the round sign, needs a variance now for height at 4 feet where 2 feet is required. And the projection above the roof, where you cannot project above the roof, and where we above now? 6 inches.
6 inches.
Half a foot, 6 inches. Still a variance. Mounting height for the signs, again, the main sign A, which is the St. Gigi's, can't be less than 10 feet, we're at 9 feet, so that requires a variance, that doesn't change. The top sign is greater than 10 feet, so that does not require a variance, not yet. The sign on the right is at 8.5 feet, according to Peter's email, but the testimony was 9 feet, so which, we'll say 9 feet. So yes, that does require variance. The right sign on the city does not exceed the maximum height. That's fine. Freestanding signs, none are proposed. So that pretty much discusses all the variances. I agree with the commissioner, I think, and John Warner, I believe, that the 200 square foot is based on a 50-foot wide lot for building the site. Well, here we are at 75 feet. It is discussed, not overbearing. It's actually two layers of you know, the first and second floor. Basically, you have three different events that you want to may want to attend at this site. They're all giving the proper direction of where you need to go. And at the site plan testimony, they had the exterior stair on that side. I think an medallion pretty much tells you where the stairs go. I think that's a very good indication, a good sign, it's not overbearing. The actual word, the sign that says Santucci is actually brand. That's your brand, right? That's, the other stores have that same type of sign. I think it's clean looking, it's sharp looking, and the letters will be backlit. It's not gonna be one of those plastic signs that you find up on a boardwalk in Wildwood or whatever. The 5 foot diameter might come back. I didn't see really an issue with that. But the 4 foot is a 4 foot is better. That's fine too. that's really it on the signs. I don't want to beat this to death. They've covered all the bases. They covered the justifications on the signs. Does the board have any questions on this? Again, I believe it's the scale of the building.
Now, the only thing we have to do is that on this additional sign that's being amended from 5 feet to 4 feet, that would be, it would be submitted to Roger for final approval.
That's correct. Yeah, Roger would have to receive 4 minute plans that match up to the testimony.
Exactly. And then that would be the next sign off on.
Correct.